Healthcare provider Netcare released its interim results today, and while revenue ticked up marginally during the period, in March alone, revenue took a 143 million rand hit due to the disruptive effect of COVID-19. April was an even worse month for the group due to the strict level 5 lockdown. Adjusted headline earnings per share from continuing operations fell over 6%, but the company's CEO Richard Friedland says the business is in a healthy financial position with cash preservation measures in place. Further to that, though, no interim dividend has been declared, and Richard joins us on the line now with his take on the numbers and what it means for the company moving forward. Thanks so much, Richard, for joining us this evening. So you flagged this performance last week already. No big surprises coming through, partly to blame some accounting anomalies. But that aside, what kind of half year have you had up to this point? Because excluding those new accounting standards, adjusted HEPS down 10%. And I guess what I want to get to is how much of a hit the month of March actually accounted for.
Well, thank you very much, Alicia. I think that as we pointed out in our update today, the first 5 months were very much trading as normal and against guidance. And I think it was a very strong performance that we were able to produce in the first 5 months. But unfortunately, March became a transitionary month in terms of our COVID preparations and in terms of downscaling of elective surgery. And of course, April, we saw a significant diminution in activity due to the lockdown occurring. So overall, we were very pleased with the 5 months, but as I said, the month of March impacting those numbers, and we broke that down in a lot of detail in our presentation.
Richard, I guess the focus now is on the where to from here. Is this picture likely to get more severely painted over what's now your first half period of the next financial year, or has lockdown to level 4 alleviated a lot of that pressure with more relief to come under level 3?
Well, we are seeing a return to activity, approximately a 15% increase in May thus far compared to April. However, a lot depends really on COVID-19 and when we expect to see that surge. And given the high level of uncertainty, we've done something that's totally unprecedented in our 23-year history, is that we've withdrawn any guidance. And we've put in place a number of cash preservation measures, such as withholding a dividend. We've done a lot of our own internal models in this regard, and we're showing in our best case scenario, the surge will occur in July. We should have enough bed capacity to deal with COVID. But if it happens in August, we think that surge will be bigger and we will be under pressure. And so a lot really depends on what manifests in terms of this COVID pandemic over the next 6 months.
As you highlight, Richard, it's an unprecedented time that we're amidst, and it's calling for new and very necessary ways for businesses like yours to maneuver. So what have some of the biggest changes been? And, with that, what kind of cost has that brought onto your books in terms of investments and capex already?
Okay, well, let me say something broadly and then I'll come on to Netcare. I think the important issue here, Alicia, is that the textbook on this pandemic has yet to be written. Mm-hmm. And all of us are on a vertical learning curve as we contribute to discovering more about this. I think to date there have been over 2,500 articles written on COVID-19, and in a scientific world that's unprecedented, and the more that's written, the less we understand really and can confidently predict about the virus. But the fundamental issue that we are all facing at the coalface of treating this pandemic, both in South Africa and globally, is that it requires a fundamental paradigm shift in human behavior. And that's what's incredibly difficult to contain this virus. We've all been brought up over the decades and centuries to be gregarious, sociable, to shake hands, to hug people, to kiss them, and to socialize. And now we're telling people to do exactly the opposite. And so the theory is one thing, the practice is another. And until we've achieved that sociological shift in society, we are not going to be successful in the control of this pandemic. And so our behavior change is critical. Now, obviously, in our hospitals, we've put in every possible measure. There's a myriad of measures, some 45 of them, that we've put in through our hospitals, from screening people at the door to testing people coming into hospitals to adequate PPE, and the list continues. But until we change that social behavior, we risk community spread, which is the biggest risk for all of us.
Absolutely. So with that in mind then, and with this opening up of the economy starting to happen now, Richard, how are you rating your readiness to tackle any surge in COVID-19 cases, from here on out? As you say, the best case scenario is July, but if that happens come August?
Well, I think there are two things. Paradoxically, I would argue that hospitals are the safest place to be, because that's where people are washing their hands, that's where they're practicing safe social distancing. It's been drummed into us. That's where we've got PPE. Our biggest concern is the community spread in our heavily populated communities, such as Alex, Diepsloot, Khayelitsha, Mitchell's Plain, and I think that's where our concern is. Now, in terms of our preparation, we believe in terms of our own scenarios, if it happens in July, the surge and number of cases will be less than if it happens in August. And if it happens in July, we believe we'll have sufficient capacity to cope with this, both from a critical care perspective and also from a general ward perspective. But if it's going to happen in August, we feel the numbers are going to be larger, and we probably will not have enough ICU capacity, and we'll have to move into a surge mode of using our other beds in this regard.
The message of hospitals being the safest place to be, Richard, is that a hard one for you to get buy into, given what's played out at your various hospitals, Kingsway, St. Augustine's, and Sunning Hill as well?
Well, I think you're talking about St. Augustine's was shut. Sunning Hill, we cleaned our theatres. We never shut the facility at all. But you're absolutely right. I think there is a fear factor amongst staff and also patients. And we're spending a lot of time giving counselling to our frontline staff and also reassuring patients. But there's no doubt that asymptomatic spread of this disease is always a risk. And this is one of the biggest areas of trying to contain a virus, where someone could be standing next to you in a supermarket or in a shopping center or filling up with petrol or at a community event who has COVID, and unless you practice safe social distancing, they're able to transmit that to you without showing any symptoms, not a temperature, not a cough, not feeling unwell. And I think this is what has bedeviled hospitals across the world, including our own, in combating the transmission of this disease.
Richard, before I let you go, very quickly, as you say, it's bedeviled the entire health industry. What kind of collaboration are you, undergoing or on route with when it comes to collaborating with public sector right now?
Well, I think there's a very good collaboration. We share our data on a daily basis. We work very closely on the ground with our colleagues in the various public facilities. And as you know, at the end of March, we put forward a proposal to government to say that we stand willing to assist government in treating state patients on a cost recovery basis. This is not a time to make profits. And we believe it's a time to suspend self-interest. And to that end, we said we would treat state patients on a purely cost recovery basis.
That was Netcare CEO Richard Friedland. Well, from health to food, the impact of COVID-19 is being felt far and wide. Strict lockdown rules is projected to cost Tiger Brands R500,000 in the second half. For now, the group's reported a 35% plunge in headline earnings, and company CEO Noel Doyle joins us on the line now with greater perspective on those numbers. Thanks so much, Noel, for your time this evening. So Tiger Brands has taken a R500,000,000 hit in profits in its second half, as I say, and you've cited the group bracing for disruptions in its supply chains along with weak consumer demand. How has the break in the supply chain come to bear on your operations?
Okay, within our supply chain, so far we've had a really good run, and we've only been forced to close one of our facilities because of COVID infections. But as the infection rate sort of accelerates in the general population, then we expect to have further disruption. We're going to try to work very hard to build our stock levels so that we can still be in supply, notwithstanding that, and our strong balance sheet is giving us the flexibility to do that.
Let's look at those stock levels, because as we now venture into level three lockdown, what kind of inventory are you sitting with for now to cater to demand, albeit weak, especially as South Africa enters level three?
So we've been targeting 21 days finished goods across the entire business. We're ahead of that in quite a few categories, but we do have sort of ongoing challenges just in terms of how the supply chain works in rice, pasta, and our maize and wheat business, but we have a consistent sort of flow through of raw materials. So I think we can cope going forward without major disruption.
Can you shed more light on the challenges you face and the kind of risk that presents to supplying the market down the line potentially?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenges are the ones that will come externally, in terms of a potential second wave in Europe and North America that could potentially be disruptive in terms of shipments of some of the key commodities in our grains business. I think that's really the biggest risk, and obviously we are attempting to build sort of our positions in terms of raw materials as well. But sometimes you find a very small ingredient or a very small component of your packaging may be the issue that creates a bottleneck, and we're working hard on all our key KVIs and the ones that are important, for the well-being of South African consumers to make sure that doesn't have an impact, and so far we've been successful.
Okay, when it comes to replenishing stock, though, you are expecting cost increases due to rand weakness, that global supply chain disruption, and additional costs incurred during lockdown as well. How much of that elevated cost base do you see Tiger Brands being able to pass on to the consumer at the end of the day, bearing in mind that we've got a competition commission that has a very strong spotlight over the sector right now?
Yeah. Look, I think the regulations, which are being policed by the competitions commission are very fair in the sense that if you've got genuine cost push, there's no regulatory impediment to you passing through that cost push. However, it is off a base level of profitability for the period of 3 months to the end of February, and that's where it's a specific challenge for Tiger, because that's a period when our profitability was quite low, and therefore any price increases not directly linked to raw material, but to recover costs that we had incurred prior to that period, for the period of the national disaster, it'll be difficult to recover those. The cost that's coming going forward, the recovery of it will not be restricted by regulation. It'll be about the competitive playing field and how competitors respond to a consumer with less money now starting to spread that disposable income into more and more categories as the lockdown levels reduce.
No.
We've been shielded a little bit for April and May because consumers had very little to spend on, with the exception of food.
Have you seen that already start to trigger some kind of shift as far as demand patterns are concerned and changes in consumption and shopping behavior amidst the South African consumer market?
Yes, we certainly have seen that. We can see that there's a very clear pattern that a lot of shoppers are shopping less frequently with bigger basket sizes, and therefore they're looking for larger packs. And obviously they're very cognizant of their current and future position and the search for value that was a serious tide that we were swimming against in the first half before COVID. That tide is going to get even stronger. And so we're going to have to, work really hard to keep our price points relevant to the consumer who, we're anticipating sort of the deepest and probably longest recession certainly in my lifetime.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Noel, for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Tiger Brand CEO, Noel Doyle.